The most intensively studied abandonment was of the most spectacular and largest set of sites, the Anasazi sites and Chaco Canyon of northwestern New Mexico. Chaco Anasazi society flourished from about AD 600 for more than five centuries, until it disappeared sometime between 1150 and 1200. It was a complexly organized, geographically extensive, regionally integrated society that erected the largest buildings in pre-Columbian North America. When Native American farmers moved into the Chaco Canyon, they initially lived in underground pit houses. Around 700, the Chaco Anasazi independently invented techniques of stone construction and eventually adopted rubble cores with veneers of cut stone facing. Initially, those structures were only one story high, but around 920, they went up to two stories, then over the next two centuries, rose to five or six stories. Why, out of all the Anasazi sites, was it at Chaco Canyon that construction techniques and political and societal complexity reached their apogee? Likely reasons are some environmental advantages of Chaco Canyon. The narrow canyon caught rain runoff from many side channels and a large upland area, which resulted in high alluvial groundwater levels, permitting farming independent of local rainfall in some areas, and also high rates of soil renewal from the runoff. The Chaco region has a high diversity of useful wild plant and animal species, and a relatively low elevation that provides a long growing season for crops. At first, nearby pinyon and juniper woodlands provided the construction logs and firewood. Anasazi diets depended heavily on growing corn, plus some squash and beans. But early archaeological levels also show much consumption of wild plants, such as pinyon nuts and much hunting of deer. All those natural advantages of Chaco Canyon were balanced by two major disadvantages. One involved problems of water management. Initially, rain runoff would have been as a broad sheet over the flat canyon bottom, permitting floodplain agriculture watered both by the runoff and by the high alluvial groundwater table. When the Anasazi began diverting water into channels for irrigation, the concentration of water runoff in the channels and the clearing of vegetation for agriculture, combined with natural processes, resulted around 900 in the cutting of deep arroyos. The Chaco Anasazi dealt with that problem in several ways, by building dams inside side canyons above the elevation of the main canyon to store rainwater, by laying out field systems that rainwater could irrigate, by storing rainwater coming down over the tops of the cliffs rimming the canyon's north wall between each pair of side canyons, and by building a rock dam across the main canyon. The other major environmental problem involved deforestation, as revealed by the method of pack rat midden analysis. For those of you who have never seen pack rats and don't know what their middens are, here's a crash course. Small rodents, called pack rats, protect themselves by building nests of sticks, plant fragments, and mammal dung, plus food remains, discarded bones, and their own feces. The rats urinate in their nests, and sugar and other substances crystallize from their urine as it dries out, cementing the midden to a brick-like consistency. Pack rats gather vegetation within just a few dozen yards of the nest. After a few decades, the rat's progeny abandon their midden and move on to build a new nest, while the crystallized urine prevents the material in the old midden from decaying. In effect, a pack rat midden is a time capsule, preserving a sample of the local vegetation, gathered within a few dozen yards of the spot within a period of a few decades, at a date fixed by radiocarbon dating the midden. Middens decay extremely slowly in the Southwest's dry climate. If protected from the elements under an overhang or inside a cave, middens can last 40,000 years. Midden studies identified deforestation as the other major environmental problem caused by the growing population that had developed in Chaco Canyon by around 1,000. Middens before that date still incorporated pinyon pine and juniper needles. Hence, the settlements were initially constructed in a woodland convenient for obtaining firewood and construction timber nearby. However, middens dated after 1000 lacked pinyon and juniper, showing that the woodland had then become completely destroyed and the site had achieved its present treeless appearance. The loss of the woodland forced Chaco residents to find a different timber source for their construction needs. They coped By going far afield to forests of ponderosa pine, spruce, and fir trees, growing in mountains up to 50 miles away. With no draft animals available, about 200,000 logs weighing up to 700 pounds were carried down the mountains and over that distance to Chaco Canyon by human muscle power alone. Despite the development of these environmental problems, the canyon's population continued to increase, particularly during a big spurt of construction that began in 1029. Such spurts went on especially during wet decades. The size of the canyon's total population is much debated. Many archaeologists think it was less than 5,000, and that those enormous buildings had few permanent occupants except priests. Other archaeologists note that Pueblo Bonito by itself was a building of 600 rooms, and that post holes suggest dwellings for much of the length of the canyon, thus implying a population much greater than 5,000. Whatever the number, this dense population could no longer support itself, but was subsidized by outlying satellite settlements, constructed in similar architectural styles and joined to Chaco Canyon by a radiating regional network of hundreds of miles of roads that are still visible today. Those outliers had dams to catch rain, which fell unpredictably and very patchily. When a particular wash was fortunate enough to receive a rainstorm, much of the rainwater became stored behind the dam, and people living there could quickly plant crops, irrigate, and grow a huge surplus of food. Chaco Canyon became a black hole into which goods were imported, but from which nothing tangible was exported. Into Chaco Canyon came tens of thousands of big trees for construction, pottery, stone for making tools, turquoise for making ornaments, and macaws, shell jewelry and copper bells as luxury goods. Even food had to be imported. Why would outlying settlements have supported the Chaco Center without receiving anything material in return? The answer is probably the same as the reason why outlying areas of Italy and Britain today support Rome and London, which produce no timber or food, but serve as political and religious centers. Like the modern Italians and British, Chacoans were committed to living in a complex, interdependent society.